Welcome to Canada's National Bible Hour, a ministry of Mission Go. I'm Brian Albrecht, the President Emeritus and Director of Canada's National Bible Hour. We are thrilled to have you with us today as we embark on a journey to reach the world for Jesus Christ. Canada's National Bible Hour is one of our key ministries dedicated to sharing the transformative and uplifting message of the gospel far and wide. Each week, we provide inspiring teachings, uplifting stories, and heartfelt prayers that connect you with the profound truths of Scripture. Our mission is to spread hope, love, and faith, and we invite you to join us in this vital endeavor as we seek to impact lives across the globe. Thank you for tuning in, and together, let us celebrate the good news of Jesus Christ.
Today, our scripture is taken from Psalm 46, verses 10 and 11, which say, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The Lord God of Jacob is our refuge." Here we have two parts. We have this great God that says to be still. We should be quiet. I know in my own life that the best times that I have with the Lord is when I'm in by myself in a quiet place where I can meditate upon His word and where I can pray. And it says, "Be still and know that I am God," and we can do this in that quiet place. But it goes on to tell us that He will be exalted among all the nations. He will be exalted over the whole earth. This is the Creator we're talking about. This is the all-powerful God who can do anything He wants to do, and He can change anything He wants to change. And it says He will be exalted, He will be glorified, He will be worshiped throughout the whole world. But then it also says the Lord of hosts is with us. God loves each and every one of us, and it's possible to have a personal relationship with this great Creator God, this great powerful God. We can have this personal relationship. We can walk with Him. We can sense His presence. We can know His will. We can do His work. We can sense His presence. We can allow Him to work through us, and we can see fruit for our labor. What a great God we have, and we need to worship Him and exalt Him and adore Him and love Him.
Hello, and welcome to another inspiring episode of Mission Moments. I'm Reverend Dennis Campbell, President of Mission Go, bringing you the latest updates from the vibrant mission field. This week, we are excited to spotlight Mission Go's unwavering commitment to spreading the gospel and nurturing local Christian communities worldwide. Join us as we delve into the incredible stories of missionaries making a tangible difference in unique language groups worldwide. As part of the Canada National Bible Hour and Mission Go Ministry, we celebrate the dedicated individuals who embark on this journey to preach, build genuine relationships, and address the needs of those they serve. Their heartfelt outreach aims to share the gospel's transformative power, and we can't wait for you to hear these uplifting stories. Stay tuned as we explore the meaningful connections being forged and the lives being changed, all through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a New Year blessings from Samuel Benjamin and Mano Young from Isaiah 9:6. "And His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, Dearly Beloved in Christ." Praying and supporting friends, Mano and I wish you and your family a very blessed Christ-centered Christmas and a prosperous New Year of the Lord 2025. We are so glad to serve our mighty God and Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, praising God for the purchase of our new vehicle. Our old car was costing us too much in terms of expenses and repairs, and it was a very difficult ride for Samuel, given his age and the traveling required. Mano has sanctioned a bank car loan by God's grace to help us purchase a new vehicle. By God's miracle-working power, Mr. David Gazzard provided funds for the initial down payment, and Manos Church, Saskatoon Church of Christ, decided to help her pay off the car loan. The love, care, and concern towards Mano and our ministries overwhelm our hearts with gratitude. We are so thankful and stand in awe of God's miracle-working power. Thanks to our mission for helping us with all the financial details. It was a tremendous blessing to have Samuel's Bible school classmate, Mrs. Monica DeFrancesco, visit us for a week in October. Minister to and bless our dear folk. Monica went to Prairie Bible Institute with Sam and Ebby in the early 70s. She babysat Pon, Mano, and Paul. Monica traced us down online through Mission Go and, after 45 years, came to visit us, wanting to share in our ministries, praising God for the counseling, care, and unconditional love Monica shared with us all. Monica was very demonstrative in her time and effort in empowering and encouraging everyone. Kindly pray that the Lord completely heals her from this infection and relieves her of this intense pain in her muscles due to her constant coughs. Please pray for Mr. Marimuthu and Mr. Ganabathy, who are considering baptism. May the Lord touch their lives in a new way. Please pray for Samuel as he turns 84 on February 14th. Pray for health and strength, and pray that his support level increases. Please pray for the unanswered prayer of the Christian gravesite case in the High Court. A Hindu radical claims the land belongs to him. Please pray that our new vehicle will bless our ministries. May God's protection and presence always go before us. For the health and well-being of the 38 individuals who call Panagam home, may they taste and see that our God is good and he will provide for all their needs. Pray for our staff who tirelessly serve each day. Please pray that God provides all their needs and that they remain faithful to their calling. Heavenly wisdom and grace for Mano as she oversees Panagam and the various ministries, praising God that she has reached 82% of her financial goal, thanking God for her donors and their faithful giving. Kindly pray for the upcoming projects, such as refurbishing all rooms and bathrooms. It isn't easy to get good workers. Please pray that the Lord brings us faithful, conscientious workers. This project has been lagging for some time now. We praise God for his faithfulness throughout 2024 and pray for his guidance and grace throughout 2025. Thank you for your sincere love, personal and collective prayers and support. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. We wish you all a joyful Christmas and a bright and blessed New Year 2025. From Samuel Benjamin and Mano Young, together we are witnessing lives being transformed by the grace of God, and it's an honor to be part of this journey with you. Thank you for joining us today. We hope you will continue to pray for our missionaries and support their efforts to ignite hope and love in every community they touch. Until next time, may the grace and peace of our Lord bless you abundantly. As we draw this inspiring episode of Mission Moments to a close, I want to take a moment to reflect on the powerful work being done around the globe. I'm Reverend Dennis Campbell, President of Mission Go, and it has been a joy to share with you the latest updates from the vibrant mission field. This week, we've been privileged to spotlight Mission Go's steadfast commitment to spreading the gospel and nurturing local Christian communities in every corner of the world. The incredible stories of our missionaries remind us of the profound impact one can have. These devoted individuals are not just sharing messages, they are building genuine relationships and meeting heartfelt needs, all driven by their desire to share the transformative love of Jesus Christ. As part of the Canada National Bible Hour and Mission Go Ministry, I encourage you to carry these stories in your hearts. They are testaments to faith in action and the beauty of community. This February, here at Canada's National Bible Hour, we would like to make available another booklet about love, a devotion series by Robert Strand. As we continue the offering, the devotional series by Robert Strand, The Nine Fruits of the Spirit. The Greek word agape means, for God so loved the world itself away with a pure motive and most generously. The golden text of the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. John 3:16. God loved us into his kingdom. The most challenging thing about love is being loving to others. Some people are easy to love, but what about those unlovely people, those enemies? Is it possible to love like God loves? It's impossible for us normal human beings. It can't be done alone. It can only be done with the power of the Spirit and the transformation of the human spirit in Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. In these Bible studies, Fruits of the Spirit, by the bestseller author Robert Strand, you will learn about yourself and how to relate to others as you gain a deeper understanding of what it means to be in Christ. To order your copy of the booklet Love, a devotion series by Robert Strand, please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines. Ontario Postal Code L2R77 or in the U.S. Box 2010, Buffalo, New York 14231. We pray this series will be a blessing.
Today's message is from Dr. Fred Hartman and is entitled Replacement Theology. This is a theology that's permeating modern Christianity, and we believe it's a theology that negates Israel and the Jewish people. This message is very important. Printed copies are available upon request.
There is a view held by a rapidly growing group of Christians today that the church has replaced Israel. They hold that the promises God gave to the nation of Israel in the Old Testament have been transferred to the New Testament church. In other words, the church has replaced Israel. And as a nation, Israel has been set aside and has no future in God's plan. So for the next several broadcasts, when we're together, we will be spending our time to determine whether or not this is a proper position to hold. As we examine the biblical view on these matters, we will soon learn that there are not only international political and military pressures against this little nation of Israel, but theological ones as well. The position of replacement theologians holds that there is no future in God's plan for the Jewish nation of Israel or that ethnic group of people. Dr. David R. Reagan gives the argument they use as follows. Since the Jews rejected Jesus their Messiah, God rejected them. He poured out his wrath upon them, scattered them all over the earth, and transferred the promises made to them to spiritual Israel, the church. God has no purpose left for the Jews. The reestablishment of modern-day Israel is therefore merely an accident of history with no spiritual meaning. It is my purpose to show you that the position they hold, how they reach their conclusions, and the errors in holding such a view. We will consider, first of all, Old Testament promises made in general, and then those made to the nation of Israel. We will examine some of them to see if they have been literally fulfilled, as were other promises made to that nation, which are called everlasting. Then, we will consider whether or not Israel will be saved and restored with a unique identity in God's plans for the future. First of all, let us look at some general promises God made to see if they were fulfilled literally or figuratively. To begin with, we will look at a couple of promises that were made by God before Abraham and the Jewish people came into being to see if God has literally fulfilled them. After man had sinned in the Garden of Eden, there were curses put on both man and the serpent, Satan. For our study, we will only look at the curses placed on the serpent. In Genesis 3:14-15, we read, "So the Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your heel, and you shall bruise his heel." There are basically two considerations that should be made here. The first one is that the woman does not provide the seed in the conception of a child. This comes from the man. What we have here is God promising that a woman would bear a child who would not be conceived by a man. This could only be fulfilled by a virgin bearing a son conceived by someone other than a man. We know that this was literally fulfilled when the Virgin Mary conceived by the Holy Spirit and bore a son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The second aspect of this has to do with the word translated bruise. In the original Hebrew, this word has the concept of crush. To crush a person's heel is not a deadly wound. However, when the head is crushed, it always means and ends up in a fatal wound. The scripture here is making a promise by God that one day there would come a person born to a woman who is a virgin. That one who would be born by her will one day defeat Satan and send him into everlasting punishment in the lake of fire. Can we not see this promise, made long before the establishment of Israel, has been partially fulfilled literally, and the remaining part will be carried out in the same literal way in the future, according to Revelation 20:10. The second biblical illustration we can use to prove God's promises are literally fulfilled is also found in Genesis prior to the founding of the Jewish nation. We are all familiar with the story of Noah and the flood. The earth was covered with water, and all flesh perished with the exception of Noah and his family. After the flood, God made a covenant with Noah. We find it in Genesis 9:8-17. "Then God spoke to Noah and to his son with him, saying, 'And as for me, behold, I will establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you, all that go out of the ark, every beast of the earth. Thus I establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth.' And God said, 'This is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you. For the perpetual generations, I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. It shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. The water shall never again be a flood to destroy all flesh. The rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth.' And God said to Noah, 'This is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth.'" Here's a promise God made so many years ago that pertains to all flesh upon the earth for all time. By the way, have you seen a rainbow lately? Is God keeping his promise in a literal fashion? He certainly is. With this background of God literally fulfilling his promises, let's move on to examine several of the promises given by God to Abraham to see if they were or are being fulfilled literally. In Genesis 12:1-3, we read, "Now the Lord had said to Abram, 'Get out of your country, from your kindred and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be blessed. You shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed.'" As we consider these three verses that are the foundation of much of the prophecy in the Bible, we should ask the question as to whether or not God meant for them to be fulfilled literally. He certainly has fulfilled the part of making a great nation come from his loins. After all, both the Jewish people, the Arab people, and most of those from the Middle East have come through his progeny. His name is certainly great among the Jews, Muslims, as well as Christians. The Jewish people have three great heroes, Abraham, Moses, and David. The promise about blessing and cursing has been part of history. The nations that have favored the Jewish seed of Abraham have been blessed. Just as an example, let's consider Great Britain. When I was a young man, it was said that the sun never set on the Union Jack, which was the flag of the British Empire. This empire had been very favorable to the Jewish people. In fact, Benjamin Disraeli, a Jew, had been served as prime minister. In 1917, Lord Balfour made a great declaration that his country looked with great favor on the establishment of the nation for the Jewish people. But in time, the government refused to stand by it. Today, just 100 years later, that empire has shrunk greatly, and it all started after that. How well we remember Hitler and his desire to eliminate the Jewish people. The Holocaust was a blight on the world. But how long did Hitler remain in power? It was all gone in 12 years. I could go throughout history and show you how this has affected nations. Has this promise been literally fulfilled? It certainly has. In Genesis 15:13, God instituted a blood covenant with Abraham, which was the most severe of the three types of covenants recorded, the salt covenant, the shoe covenant, and finally the blood covenant. In the blood covenant, the participants in the covenant killed animals, divided them in two, and set them so that together they would walk between them. This is exactly the setup in Genesis 15. However, God put Abraham to sleep so that he could not walk between the animals. By doing so, Abraham was not a participant in the covenant, but instead became a recipient of it. The commitment made here was by God and God alone. Abraham had nothing to do with this covenant, but to accept the promises of God. In verses 12 to 14, we read, "Now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and behold, horror and great darkness fell upon him. Then he said to Abram, 'Know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years. And also the nation whom they serve I will judge afterward. They shall come out with great possessions.'" Here is a covenant that God made with Abraham that gives exacting promises about what will happen to his descendants. They would go into Egypt and be slaves there for 400 years. They would be freed after that time and leave that land, having spoiled the Egyptians of a lot of their wealth. Did this happen literally, just as God promised? We're all aware of the Exodus that took place 400 years after the Jews were enslaved in Egypt. They came out with enough gold and silver to pay for the tabernacle. They also had enough gold to later make a golden calf. Did God fulfill his promises once again, literally? Or can we say this never happened? We need to be very careful when we claim the promises made by God were not literal ones. For today, let's just consider one more aspect of this covenant that God made with Abraham. He was promised a seed, for from him would come a great nation. For this to take place, he must have an heir. Since his wife Sarah was barren and well beyond childbearing years, she suggested that Abraham have a son through her handmaid Hagar. The result was the birth of Ishmael, who became the father of many of the Middle Eastern nations. However, this was not God's plan for the promised seed. Then the Lord made a promise to Abraham that even though both were very advanced in age, even 90 and beyond, Sarah would bear a son the next year. Though this was humanly impossible, it was not a problem to God. The result, Isaac was born just as God said. Again, the promise made by God to the patriarchs of old were literally fulfilled, and we have only looked at so many early promises made by God that have been fulfilled exactly as promised. A basic premise in studying and interpreting Scripture is that every passage must be understood in the light of its historical, grammatical, and contextual setting. Without a careful consideration of these factors, a person can come up with all sorts of views on things. We must be very careful to abide by these rules. On the other hand, there are also many figurative things in the Bible that can be understood usually rather easily. For example, the Bible says the trees clap their hands. We're all aware that trees do not have hands, neither do they clap, but they do have leaves that blow in the wind. The next time we're together, we will be dealing with the subject of whether or not the promises God made to the Jewish nation are eternal or only temporary, to be given over to the church instead of the nation God calls the apple of his eye. With what we have studied today, I would like to take your thinking to the extreme. We cannot just automatically pick out what seems to fit our theological persuasion and say that this is literal and this is not. Nor can we assign what God promised a nation and relegate those promises to another entity, such as the church, totally obliterating the original meaning God has had for them. To do this could possibly change the entire course and meaning of the Bible. It could lead to someone claiming eternal life is not really literal. I think of how many preachers who stand in pulpits today and proclaim there is no hell. There will not be an eternal punishment for sin, as God is a loving God who could never send anyone to hell. Others have drifted so far away from literal interpretation of the Bible that they deny the virgin birth, the biblical atonement, the literal bodily resurrection of Christ, as well as his physical return. How do I know? I was raised in a church that forsook a literal interpretation of the Word of God and never even knew you had to personally receive Christ as your Savior. The total change in that church only took about 25 years. Today, that local church is no longer in existence. It closed its doors some years ago. My goal in this series of messages is to let you clearly see that this movement that is sweeping Christian circles is not a biblical one. We can depend upon the Word of God, and that the promises that God has made to the nation of Israel are for them to be carried out literally in the future. God's Word will never change and is always dependable. Just as sure as salvation is sure, so God's promises to Israel remain unchanged.
As we wrap up this broadcast, we at Mission Go and Canada's National Bible Hour want you to know that you're in our heartfelt prayers. We truly hope that the messages you've embraced today and the inspiring stories from the mission field touch your heart and inspire you to seek an even closer relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. We invite you to take a quiet moment to dive into the wisdom of Scripture, reflecting on that beautiful invitation from Matthew 11:28-29, where Jesus lovingly calls us to find rest in him. May these comforting words uplift your spirit and guide you toward a deeper understanding of his incredible love and purpose for your life. Thank you so much for joining us today. We genuinely appreciate you being part of our listening family. And don't forget to order your copy of the booklet Love, a devotion series on the 9 fruits of the Spirit by Robert Strand. The fruits of the Spirit are such a beautiful way to enrich our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, as mentioned in Galatians 5:22-23. You can reach out to us at Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, postal code L27A7, or for our friends in the United States at Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231.